Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
There you are. Mooning.
You all right? Are you though? I do hope you are. Sincerely, genuinely hope you are. Me, yeah, I'm all right after yesterday. We had a power cut yesterday. Apologies. This building's been a bit dodgy, isn't it? Anyone watch the Load Seaters religiously, you'll know that, at least twice, we've had power cuts in this building. One time, I think it was the first time Nate was ever on the podcast in the afternoon. It was about 10, 15 minutes into the show, boom, everything goes out, just black, just power cut. It's happened at least twice. So anyway, yesterday, I come in, the doors are locked, you need a fob to get in. It's like, oh, the door's just already open, odd. The lights on the lift aren't there. The lift's dead. Go upstairs. Just there's no lights in the corridors and the stairwells and everything. Get in here. Little Harry. Looking glum. Poor kid. just everything's dead. The whole building is dead. So, of course, no power and no internet. So we hoped it would come back by... I set myself the time. If it hasn't come back by 8:30... We'll just have to abandon the show, and it didn't come back till gone 9 a.m. So apologies is what it is. It's the first time we failed to bring you the Bo Show, but it was no fault of my own, so you know, can't blame me. I was there, I was ready to rock and roll. I was bright eyed and bushy tailed, but alright, it is what it is. As always, I am joined by my producer Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
Good, 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 good. It has just ticked 1 minute past 8 in the AM British Summer Time. It's now Friday, isn't it? Thank F it's Friday. The 12th of June. In the year of our Lord 2026, you're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, the best people in the world, basically. Basically the best people in the world to tune in into Breakfast with Bo Live, getting involved in the chat, doing a poll. Consider sending in a super chat or a rumble rent. Consider signing up to the website as little as £5 a month, positive membership. Hit the like button. Yeah, I don't say that enough, do I? I very rarely say that. Smash the like button. Get the bell on the channel. That's quite enough faffing about though, isn't it? That's quite enough fannying about. Let's just get straight into it. What have we got today? What is the legacy corporate mainstream media banging on about today? What are they lying to you about by omission, if by nothing else? All right, we've got Healey Torpedo Starmer. That's the UK Defence Secretary, John Healey. The Right Honourable John Healey MP, Torpedo Starmer. Politically, he didn't actually shoot a torpedo at Sir Keir. And game on. World Cup started. I shall try to keep football to a minimum. Well, I will, because I know you guys, most of you guys, not all of you, most of you don't care at all about it. But be warned, this show is about what's in the news cycle. Right? What's on the front pages of the British print media. That's what this show is. Right? And I promise you I'll keep it to a minimum. But it will just be dominating the news some days. So on those days, what I'll do, as I said, I think I said before, I'll whip through it on those days and we'll talk about other stuff. Because I know how little you care. And I'm a river to my people, you know. I'm a people pleaser. You're my glorious band. My band of brothers. If you don't like it, I won't spend much time on it. But there you go. It will, like, there'll be things like all the front pages the day before and the day after an England game. A lot of the front pages, particularly the tabloids, the Sun, the Mirror, the Star, it will just be football. There'll be stupid stories like some England fans were aghast at how much a burger costs or something. That'll be the front page, stuff like that. Like they've got an octopus or a sheep to predict the results. That'll be the front page. Stuff like that. Okay. And especially if England do well, they do well, you know, get to quarterfinal, semi-final, it will be wall to wall. But I'll keep it to a minimum. All right, the biggest story today is John Healey, the Defence Secretary. Just to give you an idea of that. Oh, and his second-in-command, the second most senior minister at Defence, Al Cairns, he's also quit. So there it is, in the BBC, ITV News, Channel 4, Sky, The Sun. Thanks, but no tanks. You know, because the word tanks and thanks rhyme. Thanks, but no thanks. Thanks, but no tanks. You get it. It's very, very clever wordplay. You could be forgiven for not getting it. I think you get it. I can't not be sarcastic, can I? Okay. Healey torpedo subpoena and game on. All right. The Telegraph. The Daily Tory graph. Pretty much complete slop. Still ever so slightly less sloppy than like the Mirror, but not far off most of the time. They're the one that goes with the torpedo imagery. This is Defence Secretary. Torpedo, yeah. Again, very, very clever of them. Right. Defence Secretary quits in funding row and accuses PM of failing to meet moment. You have been unable and the Treasury unwilling to commit resources we need. That's his words, of course. Cairns resigns as Armed Forces Minister, accusing Sir Keir of failing the military. So this is just one more blow to Keir Starmer's government, obviously. Quite a big one. I mean, arguably the biggest so far, maybe. The most eminent, the most important ministers of state are the Chancellor of the Exchequer. It's fair to say I think the Chancellor is the second most important person in the country, politically. Let's not include the King or something, but it's the Chancellor. And then I would say the Home Secretary, then the Foreign Secretary, Home Secretary and Foreign Secretary on a par, I would say. And then it's probably Defence. I don't know of any other department that's higher than Home Office, Foreign Office, the Treasury. And then it's probably Defence, like the Health Secretary. So, to have like your fourth most powerful minister, fourth most important person in government quit, and his second in command as well quit. That's bad. In normal times, that would be, it could spell the end of a government. It could do. But of course, we're not in normal times. Keir Starmer, as we know, has been tottering on the brink for ages. Talk about legacy. I think that's one of the things Keir Starmer will go down in history for, being the most unpopular Prime Minister of all time, being a car crash of a leader, being a complete weak nothing man, an empty shirt with no trousers, just a robot weirdo man with no vision, other than what undermines and destroys Britain fastest. Other than that, if he has any sort of legacy, it was that he was able to teeter on the brink of a cliff for so long, I think. Doing that balancing act with all 10 toes over the edge of the cliff in your centre of balance. Just on the edge of toppling over, but not for months and months and months. Quite a remarkable performance, really. If no Stern and Burnham and his eyeliner win that seat up in Wigan and there's a leadership contest and Starmer wins that, imagine that happening. Could happen. Looking less likely now. But if that happened, again, Starmer right on the precipice, but not falling down and in. Remarkable. It's a terrible thing to be remembered for, though, isn't it? Being a failure all the way up to the very moment of collapse, but not quite collapsing. It's not a great thing to go down in history for, is it? All right. It must be horrible as well. I mean, not that I've got any sympathy for Sir Queer. He's an enemy of the people, an enemy of the state, as far as I'm concerned. So I've got no sympathy for him. However, it must be horrible to be in that position, whether it's, you know, an actual head of government, or whether you're just like the head of a, you're a CEO of a big business, or even a small business. And you know that most people don't want you there. You know that everyone's sort of gunning for your demise, sort of just waiting for you to fail and crumble entirely. Must be a horrible feeling. Otherwise, whenever I've been in any sort of situation, even remotely like that, when you know that's the case, no one wants you there, wherever it is. Maybe you're a party or a barbecue, and you just realise most people don't like you or don't want you there or something. Just leave. Just leave. You're in a relationship and you know they don't really want to be with you anymore. Just leave, really. Right. You work for a small company and for some reason you've alienated yourself somehow and no one wants you there, really. Probably leave. I don't know. All right. But he's the type of person that would never do that, would he? Never, ever do that. He's like an old school red, like Ceausescu. No, you shall have to remove me, really. I don't care how much I'm hated or failing. That doesn't matter. Weirdo. Okay, so I read his letter, Mr. Healy's letter. It was quite a long letter, actually, to be honest. Because sometimes resignation letters are very, very short. Sometimes they're just one line. I no longer feel I can continue in post. Yours sincerely, XYZ. Sometimes it's just that. Often it's, you know, a paragraph or two. It's been an honour to serve with you. We've achieved such great things. But because of something or other, I feel like I can no longer continue. Best wishes. Da, da, da. This was quite long. This was like 2 pages. Best part of 2 pages. And the vast majority of it was not an attack. Right? The vast majority of it was, this is all the things we've achieved together. This is all the things we've achieved in 2 years. And you have shown good leadership and you have made good decisions on XYZ. Right, but then there was a few lines in there, and sort of the main one that everyone's picked out, of course, is where he says, you have been unable and the Treasury unwilling to commit the resources we need. So that's the thing. They'd done this sort of strategic defence review paper, and it said they were going to increase spending up to 3% of GDP, which is still not enough, according to Trump. And NATO, but okay, they said they'll increase it up to 3% by 2030. And before then, here's like the incremental increases we're going to do to get there. And so, okay. And then when it came to crunch time, what, a week ago on Monday, or not that long ago, it came crunch time to do that. And the Treasury, Starmer and Reeves, effectively sort of reneged on it. Basically, they only increased it by, well, some of the numbers I'm reading, they increased it by 0.08%. So hardly anything. It's supposed to go up a good sort of 0.1 or 0.2% or something. And they only put it up by a very, 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 very slim margin. Well, it seems like that was beyond the power for Healy, because later in the letter, towards the end, he just basically says, I'm paraphrasing now, but he basically says, I can't do my job. I can't do my job. You're asking me to do something, but what you're now asking me to do is basically put us in danger. It's not enough. You said you would do what you said you would do, and now you're just not doing it. So, okay, on face value, in the letter, it's just all about spending and Mr. Healy's ability to do his job. But there's something else going on, isn't there, of course? It's that by late summer, or within a couple of months even, Keir Starmer could be out of a job and somebody else will be sitting in number 10. That's highly possible, isn't it? And so anyone in the Parliamentary Labour Party who's ambitious will be looking at that, won't they? Thinking about that, making plans for Nigel, not Nigel Farage. They'll be making plans, won't they? Making plans for Nigel. young people won't know that song. So he is obviously, there will be a calculation in there, won't there, from the Right Honourable Mr. Healey, that he wants to be able to position himself. It's all about his own career. Position himself so that if and when No Sternum Burnham becomes Prime Minister, he can present himself as, I'm the defence guy. You would imagine it might be a slightly different angle, but I am the defence guy. I'm the best principled guy. You really want me back in cabinet, don't you, Andy? It will be something like that, won't it? All right, we've done a fair few minutes on that, so it's on all the front pages, but that's basically the story. It is a massive blow to the Prime Minister's authority. That's how they always say it, isn't it? That's how they always phrase it. A blow to his authority. He hasn't got any authority. Again, think about this. Think about this. That giant majority they've got. I can't even remember what it is. It's over 100, isn't it? 100 odd majority. In the normal course of events, basically nearly every single person in that parliamentary party would be dying to be in that government. Would be doing anything and everything. Would be ultra, ultra loyal. Wouldn't dream of defying the whip. But that's not what we've got, is it? That's really not what we've got. I wonder if there's been a party with as big a majority that's so unruly. I wonder if we've had that before. Not in my, certainly not in my lifetime. Probably have at some point. Maybe in the 19th century or something. But it really shouldn't be the case when you're a powerful government. On paper, Starmer's government is very, very, very powerful. On paper, they should be able to do whatever they want. Like the early Blair years. Just de facto masters of the universe. Right? And so to be a part of that government, you actually get to be a powerful minister. Right? Because there's one thing to be in power, isn't there? To be in government. There's another thing to actually wield power. Unlimited power. People should be falling over themselves for just the merest whisper of being invited into government. Not resigning from it, left, right and centre. People just resigning from it, left, right and centre. Jess Phillips, the first whiff of something going wrong, oh, I resign. Really? Shows how weak it is, doesn't it? How terribly, terribly weak. What a house of cards Keir Starmer is sitting at the top of. All right, should we move on a bit? Let's have a look at The Guardian. Something about 20 years of Tay-Tay. Harry, maybe bring, 20 years of Tay-Tay, don't care. All right. Healey's shock resignation leaves Starmer on the brink. Kind of, not really. He's not going to go anywhere. No one's going to launch a leadership bid until the No Sternum Burnham, King of the North, Andy Bumham, until that's resolved. So he's not really on the real brink. You know, like hours away from being forced out of office or anything, but in terms of his authority being eroded further. Well, yeah, absolutely. Apparently they didn't really see it coming. I mean, some insiders had heard that John Healey was unhappy and might be considering resigning at some point. But apparently, according to the Westminster people that really keep their ear to the ground and know all the scuttlebutt and rumour that goes on a day-to-day basis, most of them didn't see this coming, apparently. They were supposed to be in Swindon today, I heard, as well. Starmer himself and John Healey were supposed to be in Swindon today, launching some sort of new, something to do with drones, some military thing to do with drones that might be built in Swindon or something or other. Of course, that's all off the table now, and they're not doing any of that. All right. Okay, Shakira. It was the opening thing of the World Cup, opening ceremony thing, like the opening ceremony of the Olympics. Like this whole big choreographed thing of utter nonsense. I always say those things. Maybe I'm just being a bit of a Debbie Downer, a bit of an old man, a bit of a grumpy old man. But I always find those opening ceremonies, like the opening ceremony of the Olympics, I always find them a bit grotesque, really. The Super Bowl halftime show. Not to my taste. Okay, lots of other people seem to like it. Shakira there is in her, she's not that young anymore, is she? I think she's in her 50s now. All right, Shakira. All right, let's just move on. Oh, the opening game was what? Mexico versus South Africa. Mexico won 2-0. All right. Iran strikes off again as Trump says a deal is close. The ongoing thing. So, if you remember, over the last 2 days, America has been hitting Iran because there was stuff between Israel and Hezbollah. Iran attacks Israel. Israel attacks Iran. Iran downed a helicopter in the U.S. helicopter in the Straits of Hormuz. The crew were rescued. America's striking Iran. Iran struck like Kuwait, I think, and Bahrain, or U.S. bases in Kuwait and Bahrain. And America, for two nights straight, was smashing Iran up a little bit. And there was going to be a third night. Trump says it's going to be the biggest night of all. We're going to take Karg Island. We're actually going to take it. What, I don't know what was like the Marines. What, the 82nd? You're finally going to send in the 82nd Airborne and the US Marine Corps. And then he's going, oh, no, we're not. No, we're not. And there's a deal. We're going to make a deal. It's very close. He's gone back to that. Not that I'm hawkish, not that my natural inclination is hawkishness, but Trump's gone back to that. Two nights of bombing and then, oh, no, we're going to stop that. A deal's really close, perhaps as close as this weekend. We're going to send J.D. Vance to Europe to sign the deal with the Iranians as early as this weekend, maybe. What does he mean, like tomorrow, even? Maybe the following weekend, anyway. The Iranians come out and go, no. We're nowhere near making a deal. Where was it? I think on BBC. Let's have a quick look here. Trump claims deal to end Iran war near as Tehran says nothing finalised. So Trump saying there's a deal again, and the Iranians saying not really again. A return to that. All right. That tea's dead. I'll revert to my backup water. Again, I saw someone in the chat saying, why have you got two cups of tea? This is a water. My backup water. All right. Okay, so that's what's going on in Persia at the moment. There's going to be a UFC event at the White House, isn't there? I hope I haven't got the details wrong, but they've set up like a outdoor or semi-outdoor arena, like literally on the lawn of the White House, and there's going to be a UFC event there. Interesting to see people throwing hands, getting knocked out and choked out, and there's like in the background is the White House. A little bit idiocracy, isn't it? I mean, I've got no problem with it. I think it's funny, but there's shades of idiocracy about that, isn't there? Anyway, I like UFC, so I haven't actually got a problem with that. All right, the Daily Express. Oh, it's a good paper. You can read your Daily Express now. Starmer blasted for, quote, falling well short, quote, on armed forces spending as two ministers resign. Prime Minister's defence plans could make us less safe. I mean, could, is, does. There you go, Shakira again. Yeah, in the letter he said, look, if you want to keep, pretending that we can defend ourselves, much less sending stuff abroad, you've got to spend money on it, dude. Like you've committed to, if and when, was it like the Paris Agreement or something? If and when there is peace in the Donbass. It's got to be when, hasn't it? Won't go on forever. Forever, ever? When there's peace in the Donbass, we've committed to some troops there. Loads of countries have, not just us. Loads of countries. It's like a peacekeeping force or something. If you want to do that, or you want to keep sending men to Estonia or Finland or whatever, or the Arctic or whatever, if and when we need to send our aircraft carrier somewhere for whatever reason, if you want to do any of that, if you want to actually have aeroplanes in the skies over the North Sea, if you want to be able to scramble fast jets, It's quite straightforward. If you want to be able to do anything militarily, you're going to have to spend money on it. Not difficult, is it? The concept of it, I mean, it's not difficult. But no, Starmer and Reeves are committed to spending loads and loads of money on welfare and net zero. Both things that aren't in our interest, the interests of the native people, are they? It's a triple whammy. Stop spending money on things that keep us safe, and spend that money on things that are to our detriment. Great. No wonder your government is a house of cards and you're the most unpopular prime minister of all time. Yeah, you're doing it wrong. You're supposed to work in our interests and you're not doing that, are you? Right, the eye. Pardon me. The eye paper. Prime minister failing to defend nation, claims UK defence secretary. Quickly read the blurb. We've already gone through it, but this will be the last time. Government loyalist resigns in despair. So again, that's another thing actually to mention. That John Healey is known as something of a Starmer loyalist. Sort of a staunch type loyalist. You would have thought he's one of those guys that would stand by him to the bitter, bitter end. But no. So maybe he does feel like really is that he can't do it. Or maybe he really, really is standing on his principles rather than just manoeuvring for a Burnham government. It's probably a bit of both, isn't it? John Healey says Keir Starmer's unable, and Rachel Reeves, quote, unwilling to fund defence. All right, we've done it. Let's just move on. All right, the Daily Mail, pure slop, wolf in a sheep's clothing, pretending it's not utter slop. Britain left defenceless. I won't even read the blurb, but there you go. God help us. Rachel Thieves, what is it about her that sort of screams ineptitude, sort of screams out of her depth? Is it just some sort of innate misogyny of mine? I don't think it is. Because some women don't necessarily exude ineptitude like that, like Yvette Cooper doesn't, or I don't feel like she does. Right? Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman, doesn't necessarily sort of at a glance look, or every time you hear her within moments, sound completely inept. I'll give her that. Right? Liz Truss didn't. Well, actually, Liz Truss did a little bit, but not too bad. Theresa May didn't, did she? You know, Mrs. Thatcher didn't. But there's something about Rachel Reeves. I don't think it's just an innate misogyny of mine. I'm pretty sure it's not. There's something about her that is just... Obviously, you're the wrong person to be Chancellor of the Exchequer. Just some, basically an idiot career politician that's been given the keys to the kingdom. The purse strings, mad. Again, Starmer's judgment, his sort of political judgment, his political acumen. Terrible. He hasn't got any, has he really? He hasn't really got any. All right. The Times, the venerable Times. Trump scraps third night of airstrikes after Iran approves deal. That's what Trump said. Iran's approved a deal and we've just got to cross the T's, dot the I's. Give me another couple of days. We'll send Vance over. We'll get it done. It's all good. Iran, someone in Iran, whether you can believe them or not, because their leadership is so unbelievably fractured. One of the, I think their foreign office spokesman on Iranian TV yesterday said, no, there's no, no. Well, Trump's just saying that. We're not agreeing to anything. If you have a look at the price of oil, though, markets quite liked it. Look at this. West Texas, 85, just shy of $86 a barrel. Brent crude, $88 a barrel. Again, when this war started, roughly speaking, it was about $78 a barrel. We're not much higher than that. Isn't it remarkable? I even, for the first time, saw someone on TV this morning corporate legacy mainstream media TV. Finally, the first person I've seen in this whole war so far say, an actual analyst person, say, isn't it remarkable the price of crude is as low as it is still? Isn't that what I've been saying all along, basically? Even when it was up at like $110, $115 a barrel, $120 a barrel, that's still not too bad. You could have expected it to be at all-time highs. You could expect it to be $150, $180, $200 a barrel. And in February, you said the US and Israel are going to go to war with Iran. It's going to last months and months and months. The Strait of Hormuz is going to be blockaded from both ends. What do you reckon the price of oil is going to be? I'd say, well, probably all-time highs. Nope. Not much higher than when the war started at this point. $85, $88. Shame it doesn't translate into what we all have to pay at the pump. All right. Cash row costs PM his defence ministers. Right, yeah. Shakira. Doing a silly choreographed dance. You're a bit old for all that, aren't you, love? I do think choreographed dancing is silly. Again, guess I'm just a curmudgeonly old man at this point. You ever watch like a boy band or a girl band or any sort of thing where there's choreographed dancing and you mute it? You mute it and just watch them. Watch the spectacle of it. You know, that sort of professional dancing where every movement has got like a snap to it, you know? I think it's weird and dumb and gross. People like it, don't they? Seals clapping for it. Mexico. Because it's a go, isn't it? Mexico. All right. Healy leads Ministry of Defence mutiny. Thanks, but no tanks. Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant. Shakira again. And Burner Boy. Burner Boy. Really? I've never heard of Burner Boy. Harry, as a Zoomer, as a bona fide, a real life Zoomer.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Burner Boy? Is he super famous?
No.
No?
No clue. No?
You've never heard of him?
No.
Okay. It's not just me then. It's funny, again, when you see something like the Super Bowl halftime show, or something or other, and they'll get some black rapper dude. I will never have heard of them. Now, like maybe like Jay-Z. Right, I've heard of Jay-Z, you know, right, okay. But often it'll be someone like this. Lil something. Like Lil Burner Boy. Something. Like, no. Burner Boy. Okay, good one. Endgame nears for Starmer as ministers quit over forces clash. Endgame nears, I mean, nothing's going to profoundly change in terms of government until the Bumham affair has been resolved. I would have thought Streeting's not going to, it's not going to do anything. He hasn't got the testicular fortitude to go out on his own. He hasn't got the numbers, I would have thought. Otherwise, he would have done it by now. You would have thought. All right, the Metro. Ooh. Metro. Gross. Yeah. As World Cup begins, PM's tactics under fire. Our defence is in crisis. All right, you've got it. You understand. The Financial Times. Are we going to get a bit of Elon and SpaceX? No? All right, well, that's one of the other big stories. I'll talk about it in a moment. Again, that opening ceremony. Absurd. Absurd and grotesque a bit, I think. These things. But. All right. Healy quits over defence budget. Right. Gold hit sixth month low. It's at all-time highs, broadly speaking. But for the 6 month low, as investors are spoilt for choice on next big thing. That's at least alluding to the fact that SpaceX, the IPO, the initial public offering of SpaceX, is going out there. Do you want stocks in SpaceX? Do you want to buy a piece of Elon Musk? Well, you shall be able to. $135 a share it's going to cost you. Apparently, I believe, again, apologies if I get any of this wrong, but I believe the IPO was at like a fixed price. They don't usually do that. They usually throw it out on the market and the market dictates what it's worth. But I guess Elon personally decided, I don't know, I guess, to put it at a fixed price, $135. Because it's such a great piece of, like, immediately blue chip, isn't it? Immediately, obviously. Something like 80% of everything the US puts into orbit is done by SpaceX. Right? And SpaceX also, like, Elon Musk's AI stuff actually comes under the umbrella of SpaceX as well now. Do you remember that, when he did that? So, it's not just space. It's also AI, all in one. They've got giant contracts, SpaceX, with the US government. Giant. As I say, the vast majority of everything they put into orbit is SpaceX now. It was sort of a bit too big to fail. Somehow, it was starting to fail. You can only imagine the US government would bail it out and stuff. So, do you want a piece of that action? Do you think that's a good investment? And you diamond hands it, hold on to it forever. Nearly. Probably, yeah. Seems like a no-brainer, right? Bit. All the institutional investors, right? Not just normal people like you or I that have got a little bit of money to play with. Institutional, if you know, if you run a fund, like run a JP Morgan fund, Goldman Sachs fund, Barclays Bank, whatever, BlackRock, Jupiter. You run a fund or a hedge fund or whatever, pension fund. You're like, we need a bit of that in our fund. We need a bit of that. That's as good as gold. You say, look, people are fleeing gold to buy, well, SpaceX. It's as good, if not better, than gold. It's like a sure, almost like a sure thing. All right, $135. There you go. All right, the star, the joy of Mex. That pun on the joy of sex. What's the joy of sex got to do with football? But okay, they've done a very, very clever bit of wordplay there. Joy of Mex. The Shakira there. All right. And they're the front pages. There you go. They're the front pages for today. Should we do our poll? We usually have a quick look at our poll at this point in the show, don't we? What did we do? Oh, it's a football thing. I'll keep it quick. I know you guys don't like it. Can England win the World Cup? Not will they, can they? We gave the options of yes, no, don't care. The don't cares have it. So that's the second, or is it even the third time I've gone out to the glorious band, The Chosen Few, to ask you, do you care about football or even any sort of sport really? And you've resoundingly come back with a no. So don't care wins in 47%. Nearly half just don't care. Okay, it's not as bad as I thought, actually. When I first instructed Harry to do that this morning, I thought it might come back like 80% don't care. Still, 40%, 47% don't care. No, 34%. Not will they, can they? And only 19% say yes. Well, the correct answer is yes. I'm not saying will they probably won't. Can they? Yeah, they can. I think they're third favourite. Spain, France, England in that order, right? And then the rest, like all the classic ones. Netherlands, Portugal, Brazil, Argentina, Germany. Italy didn't qualify. I think England are third favourite, so they certainly can win it. Here's my prediction. It's the last I'll talk about football this morning. Here's my prediction. England get to the quarterfinal, possibly the semi-final, play someone really good like Argentina or Portugal and lose. That's my prediction. Why do I think that? Because that's what always happens. Maybe get knocked out in the second round, play someone really good in the second round like Brazil or Germany and lose. That's what always happens. Okay, let's have a quick look at our the other websites. Oh, there was something on the Daily Mail I thought was interesting. Oh yeah, look, a hit piece on Rupert and Restore. Classic. It's afraid. It's afraid. Guy Adams is afraid. Guy Adams got the memo. He got a call on the blower from the editors. Attack Restore. Rupert and Restore are not in the club. They haven't signed off on like the WEF blob. They haven't signed off on the insane globalist project to destroy the country. So they must be attacked from away. Classic one. Classic one, just saying, splitting the vote. Bringing up anything. Literally just a list. It's quite a long article. Relatively long article. Just bring up every little thing. Steve Laws. Mention Steve Laws in there. Yeah. Mention John Terry. John Terry was once accused of racism and he liked a Rupert tweet once. You know, stuff like that. Just the whole nine yards. Whole nine yards. There's one bit that's funny. The team, Restore, the Restore team, some of whom are said to affectionately refer to their boss as Grandpa Simpson. All I'll say is, right, I'm not in the party, of course, not beyond being a member. I'm a fully paid up member. Beyond that, I've got no capacity whatsoever for Restore, but am, of course, friends with nearly everyone in it. Know them, right? I've had Lewis and Charlie on the show, hopefully getting Harrison in next week. Harrison Pitt. Yeah? Had Charlie on a couple of times. Had Rupert on, didn't I? We interviewed Mr. Lowe himself on Breakfast with Bo, didn't we? Right? So I have never once heard anyone call him Grandpa Simpson. Not once. That's the God's honest truth. I've never, ever, ever heard that. It's weird what the tabloids, what the corporate mainstream media will just make up. Just conjure out of thin air. Grandpa Simpson, okay. All right. Yeah, and they'll just go on, they'll just bemoan that he's got a big online following. But he's got 800,000 plus on X. 90,000 on TikTok. That they're able to raise £500,000. I didn't actually know that. Able to raise £500,000 in crowdfunding for the grooming gang appeal. Somehow bad to this, whoever wrote this. Whatever cretin, whatever globalist shill wrote this. Guy Adams. Okay, Guy. Okay, yeah. You keep doing the bidding of your evil overlords. Good job. Just anything. Look, he once told Isabel Oakeshott to piss off. Just nonsense. All right, there you go. Thought I'd bring that to you. It doesn't stick. It really doesn't stick anymore. You're anti-Semitic. You're racist. Steve Laws. It's all just to do with egos and vindictiveness and no one cares. We want our country back. He's a politician and a party that is talking about that millions must go. If millions need to go, they need to go. Yeah. Talking about yesterday, tweeting about how those that are responsible for flooding us with foreign barbarians will need to be held to account, put on trial. That's the sort of thing a lot of people in this country want. That's the sort of thing that half the electorate that don't vote, that are so disenfranchised, so disenchanted, that's the sort of thing they want to hear. Right? Not just more weak-wristed containment globalist nonsense from Nigel, like you can't alienate Islam, that he doesn't care about demographic change. Right? He's not even a populist. All that stuff. Not interested in that. We want a leader that's going to save us from a sectarian nightmare. Right? So you can sling all the crap at us you want, and none of it's going to stick. In fact, if anything, it'll just serve as a Streisand effect. Because we want our country back, and at the moment, Rupert Lowe is the only reasonable, realistic option for that. I don't care about splitting the vote. In Makerfield or anywhere. Don't care about that. No, we're going to vote for what we want. We've had generations of don't split the vote, don't let the other side win. You've got to vote for something you don't actually want that won't actually act in your interest because you can't let the other side win that's marginally worse. No, we're done with that. No. That paradigm left us where we are. Staring down the barrel of a sectarian nightmare. No, we're going to vote for... And if it means, what, Burnham gets in at the expense of Robert Kenyon, so be it. I don't care about Keir Starmer's career. Oh, we're supposed to help Keir Starmer's career somehow. We're supposed to help Nigel Farage's dreams of going to number 10. No, I don't think so. No. I'm going to vote for a party that's got policies that will try that are in our interest. The only party out there, realistic party, that's got the nativist interests at heart. Yeah, I'm going to vote for that and come what may. We'll dine out on reformers' tears if need be. Okay. Let's do on this day in history. I like that bit. You guys seem to like that bit. Down through the centuries, on this day, the 12th of June, what happened of note? On this day in 1770, a patent for the spinning jenny, the first multiple spinning machine that revolutionises cotton spinning, is granted to English weaver James Hargreaves. Yeah, if anyone who doesn't know. You know, cotton grows in a field. Bit of cotton on top of a stalk, basically. It always used to be you had to hand pick, and there's little bits in it. There's little like seeds or whatever in it, little bits. Or even insects or anything. You had to by hand, someone had to sort of tease it out until it's just perfect, just the cotton. And then spin it into, make it into threads and so on and so on. And that had to be done by hand, and it was relatively slow. And the textile industries were massive. Still are to this day. Textile industry. Giant thing. Well, James Hargreaves invented the spinning jenny. Just a machine. Very, very simple mechanism, a machine. We can put multiple like spools of cotton on this thing and a big wheel. And one person operating this machine can just tease out the pure cotton many, many, many times faster, orders of magnitude faster than one person doing it. They completely revolutionised that. Might not sound like much. Why am I going on and on and on about that? Well, it was a big deal. It really, really was a big deal. Put lots of people out of jobs, for example. But also revolution, you know, we're in the Industrial Revolution. People were thinking, oh, that's a good idea. That worked insanely well. What other things could we do where at the moment it's just a handmade, bespoke, one-off thing, whatever it is, like making bottles or something? It's one artisan making something. Can we make some sort of machine or mechanism that can just make loads of them way more quicker? Suddenly people thinking, oh, mass production of things, of everything. That's one of the things I think is interesting to note, that in our modern world, nearly everything around you, and I do mean that, nearly everything you see in your house right now is mass produced. It's rare that you've got a one-off handmade bespoke piece of artisan thing. You might have one piece of objet d'art in your home, like a piece of art, maybe. Nearly everything else, everything you see. Imagine a world before that. Imagine a world where it's the exact opposite. Everything you use and see is a one-off handmade artisan thing. What a different world it is, right? Really different world. Okay, the spinning jenny plays a big part in all of that. I'll move on. On this day in 1830, beginning the French colonisation of Algeria. That wasn't good. 34,000 French soldiers land 27 kilometres west of Algiers at Sidi Farouche. Yeah, the French adventure in Algeria. Not good. I mean, it's a very, very long story. Very long story. Can't get into it here and now. Everything from annexing it, saying that that bit of land is actually part of France. It's as much like a department of France as anything else. to getting completely kicked out, like a disastrous, utter failure in the end of a colonial project for France. Such a long saga. Can't go into it here, but okay. On this day in 1830, it begins. All right. On this day in 1864, the Battle of Trevelyan Station, the bloodiest and largest all-cavalry battle of the American Civil War, ends with a Confederate tactical victory and a Union successful retreat in Louisa County, Virginia. So that's right near the end of the war, isn't it, 1864? I've heard of this one before, but I must admit I don't know about it in great detail. I'm a big fan, weird thing to say, weird way to phrase it, but I'm a big fan of the American Civil War. I've read loads and loads about it over the years. My first ever video on History Bro was all about the Civil War. But this will be right near the end, isn't it? But an all cavalry battle. Interesting. Not usual. Not common. Kind of ever, let alone in the 1860s. But okay. The Confederate cavalry did usually show more dash and elan in the face of the enemy, didn't they? Usually. They didn't really have much other choice. The Confederates are sort of had to rely on dash and elan because they didn't have the resources and men that the Union had. They just didn't. By 1864, they're being starved and blockaded into submission. Or is it June 1864? It's right near the end, isn't it? Like, it's not long before Richmond falls. The writing had been on the wall for a while for the Confederacy by that point. All right. On this day in 1931, Al Capone is indicted on 5,000 counts of prohibition violations and perjury. Al Capone. I know to some he's like a folk hero or whatever, or you think he's cool. I think he's a complete scumbag. Complete murdering scumbag. I kind of hate Al Capone. Or all these gangsters. I mean, hate. They are sort of romantic, not in the carnal sense. They are romantic figures, aren't they? Very, very interesting. I made some content about Lucky Luciano with Connor once, talking all about the early mafia, going back to the Moustache Pete's, the 19th century ones. They are interesting. But I don't put these people on the pedestal. Yeah, they sent him to prison. In the end, got him on famously on tax violations. Like, oh, they can't really prove. They couldn't really prove that he was, like, ordering people to be murdered and things, which, of course, he was. But they could sort of prove that, how come you've got untold millions of dollars, Alfonso Capone? How come? Where's that come from? And if nothing else, shouldn't you have paid, like, income tax on that? You haven't paid income tax. Right, off to Alcatraz you go. There's actually multiple trials. The story of Al Capone is interesting. All right. On this day in 1942, Dutch schoolgirl Anne Frank receives her diary as a birthday present in Amsterdam. Yeah, her father wrote in that diary. Okay. On this day in 1964, Nelson Mandela is sentenced to life in prison for sabotage in South Africa. Sabotage. That's what you're going to call it. That's the thing. Nelson Mandela. There's a statue of Nelson Mandela in Parliament Square in England. Why? He's a terrorist. The man was a terrorist. He went to prison. He was sentenced to 27 years for sabotage. Yeah? Okay. That's how you're going to characterise being the head of a murderous paramilitary. Blowing people up. Along racial and ethnic lines, blowing white people up. All white malls in South Africa go and blow women and kids up. Nelson Mandela, poor Nelson Mandela was in prison for 27 years. He deserved the death penalty, probably. Why did they put poor, innocent, brilliant, done nothing wrong Nelson Mandela in prison for 27 years? Free Nelson Mandela. No, he was the head of a violent, bloody paramilitary. Okay. On this day in 1991, Boris Yeltsin wins Russia's first presidential election with 57% of the vote. Interesting, Boris Yeltsin. He's a very, quite an interesting man. If it wasn't for him, well, Gorbachev, but even more Yeltsin, really. If it wasn't for him, perhaps the Soviet project would have lingered on longer than it did. Of course, a terrible alcoholic as well. But an interesting, quite a funny character, quite a funny man. Okay, on this day in 2018, the Singapore summit between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and US President Donald Trump. The first time a North Korean leader and a sitting US president meet. Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? I remember when all that was happening. I was watching that very closely. Very, very interesting to me. When they both threatened, vaguely, to nuke each other. I mean, not quite, but... I think Trump called him, when there's like a battle of words, Trump called him like a... Like, I'll send that little fat man back to the Stone Age or something. Something like that. I can't remember. You know what Trump's like. He's like, oh, he's got a button, has he? The nuclear button. Nuclear button. Oh, he's got a nuclear button, has he? Well, so have I. Mine's bigger. Classic. But they did meet, didn't they, there? And look, and they did shake hands. And one way or another, it does feel like, doesn't it? It does seem that Trump managed to sort of defuse Kim Jong-un to some degree. Like, the North Koreans don't seem to be crazily belligerent, do they, at this point in time? Like, they're not constantly threatening to nuke Tokyo or Seoul, are they? I still think it's a disgusting throwback, North Korea. A disgusting pimple on the face of human civilization. Kim Jong-un himself, a revolting piece of, nearly swore there, human detritus. A gross weirdo freak, 1950s throwback, degenerate monster. Have I said too much? Have I gone too far? All right, let's do our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. It's about that time of the show, shall we? Do you reckon Global Church History is in at number one? He usually is, isn't he? A couple of factoids. Let's have a quick look. Let's have a look here. What have we got? Yes, it's a good day. Global Church History in at number one. Reigning, defending, and still. Global Church History. He says, on this day in 1442, the crown of Aragon took the kingdom of Naples. Right, yeah, so what's that? Oh, God. One of the Alfonsos, won't it be? Or Alfonso V, if memory serves. And remember, the Kingdom of Naples is half of Italy. It's not just the city of Naples and the immediate environs. The Kingdom of Naples is everything from Naples down of Italy. I mean, the southern half of Italy is, even to this day, but certainly back then, was much more a rural, much more... the industries and big cities are all in the centre and north of Italy. Nonetheless, the Kingdom of Naples was much more than just, like, Naples. In fact, the Kingdom of Naples controlled... I'm not sure if at that point they controlled Corsica and Sardinia, but... It's no small thing for the crown of Aragon. Spain. Not quite Spain, but nearly. Okay, that happened in 1442 on this day, and on this day in 1665, New Amsterdam became New York. Right, 1665, so this will be... The Anglo-Dutch Wars, Bodade's Epochs, my history theme show behind the paywall on lotuseaters.com. Do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month bronze tier membership. I've got a really long form piece of content all about the Anglo-Dutch Wars. There were three, arguably four, in the 17th century, largely naval engagements between the Dutch and the English, as well as still the English at that point, not British, the English. And when those wars, what is a bit of a back and forth, they won some, we won some. I don't think the New York thing was actually directly part of those wars, but it was during that time, it was during that period. I believe we took it off them sort of bloodlessly. It was a Dutch colony, you know, at the mouth of the Hudson.
New Amsterdam, and one of our captains turned up with a flotilla, and we was like, this is ours now. Thank you very much. I think it was, memory serves, it was briefly taken back by the Dutch in some point in the 1670s, I believe. But then at the end of one of the wars we had with them in the narrow seas, in the North Sea, they had to cede it back to us again. And then we didn't lose it until 1776. Or later, actually. I believe the very, very last garrison of British troops in the New World was on Manhattan Island. I think, if I got these details wrong, I think, if memory serves, this is all just from memory. I think the very last British troops didn't leave Manhattan until, like, the 1780s at some point. So, okay, there you go. All right. Interesting. All right, what else have we got? Matthew C, super fan of the show. How are you, Matthew? Hope you're good. You say, best thing about the World Cup is knowing that by the time the next one rolls round, Rupert Lowe will be Prime Minister. Aim high, vote low, millions must go, from Zoomers to Boomers. Mass deportations will be underway and the death penalty will be back. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Yeah, for all those things. Absolutely. Absolutely. Luke Street, 91. St. Luke. It's Luke Stewart, says, g'day, Bo. G'day, mate. Oh, yeah, how good. G'day, Bo. And everyone, hope you're doing well. Much prefer the AFL Aussie rules to soccer, and too bad Keir Starmer didn't actually get hit by a torpedo. YouTube wouldn't let me send this. So that's a rumble rant. He sent his rumble rant. Can't condone the idea of Keir Starmer getting hit by a torpedo. Prank caller. You're talking about, you prefer Aussie rules football to soccer. Don't agree. But somebody's Aussie rules football. Aussie rules football is like rugby or the NFL, insofar as I don't mind watching compilations of like that season's hardest hits. Or hockey. Ice hockey. Actually, I do quite like American football. I do watch a bit of American football when it's on, to be quite honest. I don't mind it. But Aussie rules football. The classic one guy jumps in the air and the other guy knocks his legs out from under him while he's in the air, condemning him to land on his own head and possibly get knocked out. Do a tackle that's a little bit higher by accident and actually you're just elbowing him in the face. Aussie rules football is pretty brutal, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. Certainly get on the next few are all Luke. So I'll whip through them if you don't mind. It's already gone nine. You say, I saw a clip and apparently one way they had been cooking the numbers for this percentage is they also include pensions for veterans welfare, not military hardware and new troops. ? Yeah, they cook the numbers on everything. There's new government figures about unemployment, about welfare, about the NHS, about the military. They would have been cooked and manipulated and measured in all sorts of very, very, very specific ways to try and make it seem as best possible for the government. And in fact, the real reality, like immigration or something, the real reality of it is much worse. Yeah. They just decided that they won't count this or they will count that. Yeah. It's all spin. You also say, can we just nuke them and be done with it? I don't know who you're talking about. Perhaps Iran? The World Cup opening ceremony? Can we just... it worked when they had to deal with Japan. Oh, I guess you are talking about Iran. Who knows? Maybe the Iran might have their own version of Hello Kitty and anime if we drop a couple of nukes on them. I don't advise dropping nukes on almost entirely innocent civilians. Japan in World War II was a very different thing to Iran, isn't it? It's just a whole different context, you know. It's not great to incinerate 100,000 people in an instant, is it? When most of them are, like, a lot of them are women and children. Most of them are completely innocent. especially if the government, the Iranian government, the IRGC, might not even surrender then. Right? Japan didn't immediately surrender after the first nuke. In fact, after the second nuke, didn't immediately surrender. The government wasn't going to surrender. It took the intervention, finally, of the emperor to say enough is enough. Maybe drop a nuke on, like, an empty bit of desert just as, like, a warning to show the... It's not a good idea. It's a Pandora's box, isn't it? Once you start using even tactical nukes. The Chinese or the Russians might feel like, oh, that's a thing now. We can start dropping tactical nukes. Can we? Slippery slope. All right, next one you say, to be honest, if he just let us buy the odd rocket. Oh, I guess you're talking about Elon Musk and SpaceX. We can have our own space program anywhere rather than spending billions on developing the same thing everyone else has just get a working rocket. Okay, I get the sentiment of what you're saying there. Yeah, I wonder if Britain could buy sort of the way we buy Trident off of the United States. We just buy a space program off of Elon. Like, you're mass producing those engines and the fuselage. You're already mass producing them. Can we buy them? Yeah, why not? We were going to have a space program, or the beginnings of one. Under Boris Johnson, they were very, very seriously looking at making a spaceport in Cornwall, it was going to be, I believe. And then they realised, oh no, we just haven't got the money for that, effectively. Very, very expensive, a space program, even in this modern age, where someone like SpaceX can do it for a fraction of the old prices. Still extremely expensive. Okay. Pigdog5150 says, we only want what's best for him. Nigel just needs this helping hand. What exactly is that in reference to? We only want what's best for him. Nigel just needs this helping hand. What's best for him? Are you talking about Nigel or Rupert? Okay, sorry, I'm afraid I'm not entirely clear exactly what you're referring to. Okay, Luke again. The next few are all Luke again, coming in saying, or make it to the finals, I guess, England and football, but instead of having a component white player scored the winning goal, they decide to do the whole diversity is our strength crap and put a shitty brown player in and misses. At the last big tournament, for some reason, Gareth Southgate decided to put in a black penalty taker who isn't a natural penalty taker, and he missed, didn't he? Or more than one of them. Okay. Okay, and Luke again. I keep thinking the quote everyone's been saying after the Henry Novak, you're racist. Don't think so, mate. Yeah. Yeah, don't think so, mate. We've got to use that a bit more. Trump called him Rocket Man. You've just said that. That's the next one. What, Elon Musk, Rocket Man? Oh, no. Kim Il-jung, didn't he? He called him Rocket Man. That's right. Rocket Man. A Rocket Man. All right, Busted Brian says, even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. People just liked it better that way. New York, so good they named it twice. And the final rumble rant, Luke says, that's why I love Aussie rules, for the hits. Soccer, they tap each other and they have a big cry about it, yeah. Yeah, Aussie rules is pretty... It's funny when you see Americans and they watch rugby or Aussie rules for the first time. They're like, what, they're not even wearing crash helmets? What? They're doing hits that are basically almost as hard as American football, but they're not wearing body armour and crash helmets. Like, yeah. Like, this season's, like, knockout from Aussie Rules. Someone gets smashed so hard they're actually completely unconscious. Compilation, 20 of those. I can find 2 or 3 minutes in my day for that. All right. Oh, YouTube. Blimey, there's loads. There's quite a few. I'm gonna whip them. Thank you to everyone who sent them in. I can't necessarily spend loads of time on each one, I'm afraid. But I'll do a bit. Okay, all right. AC1D Helm says, had some time to watch the main show yesterday. Love whenever Bo isn't talking. So I was on the show yesterday, the main podcast. Love whenever Bo isn't talking. He looks like he is scheming, cheeky eyes darting about the place. I don't know what you're talking about. No, thanks. Thanks. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. And it was a crying, laughing face as well there. So, okay. Something Wickedly, the next three, Shona, superfan, the next three in a row, so I'll just read them all in one go if you don't mind. What about our band of brothers and hoes? I would never use such a pejorative to describe my female audience. UFOs with the probe yesterday, wasn't it? Oh, what? Why the show was... Yeah, it was blatantly some sort of psyop, something. I mean, aliens. It was blatantly Iran did it. I mean, Israel. I mean, aliens. I mean, Keir Starmer. It was blatantly the 77 Brigade. I mean, aliens. Yeah. And the last one. If Healy is my defence, cheerio. Sorry, Shane, I don't know exactly what you're saying there. Okay. Okay. Our Rob or Ross, that's their name, says, what do they know about the dire strait of our armed forces that we don't? What, like the government or guys like Healy and Cairns? What do they know that we don't? Yeah, we already know. Yeah, I mean, good point. Yeah, we already know it's in dire straits. We don't necessarily know how bad it is, how deep the rock goes. It's a good question. Yeah. Good question. Very good question. Worrying, isn't it? How bad is it, really? Okay. K. Carey says, Pam Nash is my MP. Utterly useless. Locked X account. Refuses to disclose surgeries. On rare occasions, she's actually in the area. Loves a photo op. Named in the expenses scandal. Blairite Nepo baby. Yeah, loads of our MPs are guilty of all those things you've just said there. They're just in it for a little bit of fame and notoriety, the money. They're not interested in helping their constituents in any way, are they? Not interested. Locked X account and refuses to disclose when her surgeries will be, and they're rare anyway, if she's ever even there. Gross. Complete dereliction of duty. Complete dereliction of duty. Hate it. I hate it. Okay, next one, Shona again. He needed defence if the Northern Ireland boys don't back off. Sorry. Be needing defence if the NI boys don't back off. Okay. Aristotle Luton says, nice XTC ref, Bo. Making plans, Swindon's finest. Making plans, yeah. Some people get it. It's nice, isn't it, in real life or on the internet, you make an obscure reference that you know most people probably aren't going to get it. But the small number that do, worth it. It's worth it. Okay. Shona again, as something wickedly says, maybe we should bring the Middle East here? Yeah, let's not do that. Yeah, Kick You in the Throat. That's their name. At Kick You in the Throat says, looking smart, custom build, performance mode. Talk about Harry. Go to that camera. Thanks, I'm looking smart, thank you, I appreciate it. Yeah, this It's about the ensemble, isn't it? The blazer to shirt to tie combo. Do they work together? This one's all right, isn't it? This one's all right. Thank you for noticing. I appreciate it. Cheers. Okay. Tatum says, it's so humiliating having Trump as prez. Not my words. All the MAGA crew out there. You say anything against Trump and you're suffering from insane TDS Trump bashing. These aren't my words. Blame Tatum. Tatum says, it's so humiliating having Trump as prez. I'd love having Lowe here. He's totally betrayed us. Standard of living plummeting. And he says he doesn't care. I've seen once or twice the first time was a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago or so, someone asked Trump about the price of petrol at the pump for the average person. And he said, I don't care about that. He did say that. He just said, I don't care. I care about the fact Iran doesn't get a nuclear weapon. Okay, that is important, isn't it? That Iran doesn't get a nuclear weapon. Yeah, it's certainly important. But it's not really politic, is it? It's not good optics. It's not a good soundbite to say, I don't care about the price of petrol. Well, I think just the other day, I think just yesterday or maybe 2 days ago or so, someone asked him about inflation and he said something really odd. Like, I love inflation or something. He said something like that. Okay. I do know lots of people. There's still lots and lots of pro-Trump people, lots and lots of pro-MAGA people, but increasingly more people who were pro-MAGA, who were pro-Trump, have decided they don't like him as much. They feel betrayed by him in various ways, exactly as Tatum says there. He's totally betrayed us. You say, yeah, in a number of couple of ways, sure. Okay, kick you in the throat again, says the 2013 STLCC bathroom choker, Jevon Mallory, who did 10 years for the crime. I don't know this. Was arrested this week for choking another woman, just highlighting. Who's that? That rings a vague bell. I'm sorry, that only rings a vague bell. I probably should know about that in much, much more detail, but sounds dodgy, doesn't it? Okay. Shona again says, I've heard of Dean Martin, that's it. The Rat Pack. What is that in reference to? I don't know what that's in reference to. I've heard of Dean Martin, that's it. Was I talking about the Rat Pack or something? Again, I feel like I'm being dumb. It's kind of obvious what you're talking about there, but I don't know. Okay. Got to whip through. There's still quite a few to go. I'm going to whip through them a bit faster, I'm afraid. If I don't immediately get it, what anyone's saying, I'm just going to move on, I'm afraid. I've got to this morning. Okay. A-L-A-W Ginger Poo Sniff. That's what they've decided to call themselves, says... Will Africa featuring England win the World Cup? Yeah. We've got a fair few players who are of ethnically African origin, haven't we? Shona again says, RFC only team not to take the knee. RFC. I don't know. Rotherham Football Club? I don't know. Mr. Dicky Bingo, not Dinky Bingo. Mr. Dicky Bingo, Superfans Show. How are you, sir? Good morning. Says, I'm 58. And sick to the back teeth of our shag sack politicians. Maybe that was meant to be sad sack. Shag sack politicians. I've spoilt my ballot for years, but Rupert is talking my language. He gets my vote. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. He's talking the language of a lot of people who are completely disenfranchised. Don't think any of the other main globalist containment WEF uni parties, including Reform, but none of those speak for them, even remotely. They've got no faith that they will do what's in our interest. And Rupert is. Okay. Shawnee C says, I like your little beard. Oh, thank you. Does need a bit of a trim. There definitely needs a bit of a trim. Thank you. Thank you.
Little.
Could be bigger, I suppose. It's not bad. I give it a 6. It's not brilliant. Lewis Brackpool's beard is much, much better than mine. I'm jealous of his beard. It's a 6. It's not so bad that people immediately at a glance would say, why are you trying to grow a beard, dude? You can't grow a beard. Have a shave. So, if it's not in that category, I'll take it. All right. Getting a little bit Uncle Albert, though, isn't it? A little bit unruly. Should have a trim. Thank you, though, nonetheless. That's enough talking about me. Such a... So vain. Stop being so vain, Bo. It's not all about you. It is. It's a one-man show. It is all about me. Okay. Restore Maxa 69. Great. Says, I also like your little beard. Oh, thank you. I'll take it. I accept compliments here at the Bo Show. I'm a man who knows how to accept compliments. Kick you in the throat again, says, black historical revisionists will be glad to tell you that the spinning Jenny, 1754, was helpless until Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin, 1793. And then at the laughing smiley face. Yeah. Yeah, classic. Black revisionist historians, they just do that, don't they? They invented everything. The computer. Okay, Erwin Romulus said, I used to watch football in the 90s, gave up on it when the amateur dramatics took over. It's unsportsmanlike and womanish. Do you ever watch the rugger? That's rugby. No, very rarely. Occasionally. Again, if the Rugby World Cup comes round and England are in the later stages of it, I watch it. But just normal, run-of-the-mill, club, national-level rugby, not really. Not really. Sometimes, but not. I certainly don't wouldn't say I follow it. Yeah, football is much more womanish than it used to be. Sometimes you look back and you look at old matches from the 80s or before. Look at matches from the 60s and 70s, like when Bobby Moore and... Jeff Hurst and just look at a football match from the 70s, and they are smashing into each other, and the ref just lets it go on. No, that's no foul. You've absolutely booted him in the air, got nowhere near the ball, sliding tackle from behind, almost crippled the dude. Play on. Not only is that not a red card or a yellow card, it's not even a foul. Carry on. And now the tiniest thing, honestly, the tiniest thing, is a foul. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. All right. See, George Best. People try and destroy George Best from doing a brilliant run, a brilliant bit of dribbling. And they're just trying to break his legs, basically. Play on. All right, anyway, you guys don't like football mostly, so I'll carry on. Tux034 says, Bo, I'm concerned about your lack of tea to get you through the show. Here's some money to buy a thermos mug to keep the whistle wet and the tea warm. Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Appreciate that super chat. That's what Cole does. That's what a couple of people do. They come in with a cup of tea and a thermos flask full of tea. So when they finish their first cup. The thing that ever so slightly annoys me is that on air with the mics on, you're like pouring it out and you can hear like the trickle dribble sound. I know it's not a big deal, but it's all right. One cup of tea and a cup of water pretty much suffices me perfectly. I've considered the idea of getting a proper china or porcelain teapot and a proper porcelain cup and saucer and having a teapot brewing a whole pot of tea before the show starts. And then when I finish my first cup, pour another one. It's a bit more classy, isn't it? An actual sort of proper porcelain teapot rather than a thermos. Probably won't do either of those things anyway. Okay. Solis Seraphus says, SpaceX based at Saxavord? ? I don't know what you're talking about. Saxavord, is that a place in Scandinavia? I don't know. Thanks for the super chat, though, but I don't know exactly what you mean. Sax Award. Okay. Brute Life 2314 says, a lack of Belfast in the headlines this morning. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, very interesting. Matt Cabal of Evil Fleet Street Editors. Hey, guys. We've decided the calculation is just squash the Belfast stuff. Just don't talk about it. Just 100% lie about it by omission. It's all, that's just not a thing now. Starve it of oxygen. Yeah? Good. Yeah. All right, and the last few here. Oh, three more, and they're all from Tatum. Says, this back and forth on the war, huge insider trading. Hmm. That's cynical of you to say. And yet. And yet. Are you wrong? Probably not. Almost certainly not. Twitter again says, deported barely more people than Obama. He lies. Oh, you're talking about, yeah, the Bannon wing of MAGA, of which if I was actually a United States citizen and lived in America, I would be on, I would certainly be on the right of the MAGA movement. Even Bannon isn't good enough for me, isn't hard enough for me. Not particularly happy with how many Trump has deported. He's done very well on the southern border in terms of stopping the bleeding, hasn't he? Very, very few people cross that southern border at the moment. Yeah, as for deporting millions and millions and millions that have entered illegally during the Biden years and before, he hasn't done as much as many would have hoped, including you, I'm sure, Tatum. Deported barely more people than Obama. Does it always, isn't it? Okay. Next one. Regardless, aim high, vote low. Cheering from here. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Rupert, he's our man. If he can't do it, no one can. Okay. And one more has just popped in there just now. From Solis Seraphus again. Says, Saxavard is a radar station and launch site in Scotland. Oh, okay. Okay, well, cool. That would be cool. Yeah, imagine if we did a deal with Elon. I say we, the British government, did a deal with Elon. It was like, here's enough money. Just build us a space program in Scotland. There's an old radar station up in Scotland. That's yours. Go. Here's a few billion. Make that happen. That would be great. I'd love it. Love it. And one last rumble rant that's just come in. Luke again. I think it's is he gonna? I just said sorry. Supposed to be competent. Autocorrect. F'd me over. Okay. No worries, mate. No worries. All right. That's the show. That's the show. It's now 27 minutes past 9 in the AM British Summer Time. Supposed to be a 1 hour show. Don't say I'm not generous. 27 minutes past 9. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers really are the best people. The best collection of people in the world. There's no doubt. Watching the Bo Show Live, getting involved in the poll and the chat and the super chats. Really appreciate it. All right. It is Friday the 12th of June in the year of our Lord 2026. And try and enjoy the weekend ahead, if you can. Anyone, try and get to Makerfield, actually, if you can. I'm hoping to get up there. Try and get it to make a field, make a difference on the ground. If not, try and make the best of your time. It's the most valuable thing you will ever have. Got a finite number of days on this earth. Try and make them count. All right then. Until Monday morning. Take care.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.